Amen. I cling to the old rugged cross. Looking forward to the day that we can exchange that for the crown. Are you not? I'm looking forward to that day. Let's open your Bibles, if you would. We're going to take a look at the two ordinances of the local New Testament church. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And there are two major practices within the church today that, to the Christian, should be beautiful and should be something cherished, looked forward to. But I'm afraid to the outsider, to the unbeliever, they may seem strange, odd practices. And sadly, even to some believers, they're strange and odd. And we don't fully understand them. So as we begin looking into the life of discipleship that we find here within the local New Testament church, as we look at this, there are two very important studies that we need to first make. Whenever we get into, whenever I get into talking with a young person or a new convert, or maybe I'm just starting, this person may have been saved for many years, the two main things that I focus in on are, number one, the person of Jesus Christ. And we have to let that be our basis and where we start. That's our starting point. And then the second is the church. That's where I go after I start in on who is the person of Jesus Christ. The second is the study of his church. So once I get through the Christology aspect of things and I start to understand who Christ is, his work, his office, once I start to understand that, then I make my way into a study of the church and I understand the gospel and then the church's role as far as the gospel is concerned. In looking at these two specific things, that what we ask is what is the gospel and what is the church? And when we get into these things, we start to understand more of what we are in him. We understand more of who he is. We understand more about our role and our responsibility in this. And understanding these two, I believe, are of utmost importance. These two things that we're going to look at tonight, baptism and the Lord's Supper, what we call church ordinances, are specific to the church. These are not simply practices to be done willy-nilly, but they're two very specific practices that we need to take seriously and we need to take I wasn't talking to Siri. I was talking to seriously. Praise God. I was like, did I offend someone? It's a phone. But these two ordinances are things that we ought to take with brevity. And we ought to take very cautiously. The practices, these are to be accomplished in and through the local New Testament church. We're going to take a look here at baptism and the Lord's Supper. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And let's take a look starting here at verse number 18. It says, first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's pause for just a moment as we get into this study this evening and ask God's wisdom as we get into his word. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for these two practices, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And Father, as we take a moment to just look at them this evening in light of your church and in light of our positioning and their purpose, Father, let us see you in such a high and lifted up way. Father, let us be thankful to you for giving them to us as a way to remember. Father, help us, Lord, to draw closer to you as we study this and not to be place ourselves further away. But Father, give us a desire and a hunger to know more about you. Father, we love you. We thank you for the church and what you did to establish the church. And Father, how you died for it. And I thank you, Father, that you allow me to be a part of it. And it's in your Son's name I pray these things with thanksgiving. Amen. Let's take a look at a few things here. Number one, the baptism and the Lord's Supper, these are Christian essentials. These are Christian essentials. Now, we made the statement last week when we got into church membership and what is it to have congregational authority. We took a close look at what it means to be part of the local New Testament church. We looked at what it was to be part of this body of believers. Not only do we take responsibility for one another, not only does the church congregation have a voice collectively, not only do we submit ourselves to the accountability of one another, but there are also certain Christian essentials that mark us as different, but it also gives to us an opportunity to do this corporate worship together. And there are certain times that we come into. There are many different things out there that are viewed as secondary. Many different doctrines, many different teachings that are viewed as secondary, and that's fine. But as far as baptism and the Lord's Supper are concerned, these are two of those doctrines that I view as essential, not to salvation, but essential to our who we are in Christ, essential to what we are as a church body. So I'm very cautious when we come into the line. We have unity in the essentials and liberty in the non-essentials, because the word non-essential kind of makes it sound as if it doesn't matter. Well, it matters. It matters. So when we get into this, I want to look at these two specifically. I don't view these as non-essentials. I understand not wanting to offend someone. I understand that. However, we must be sure that the importance of the Lord's Supper and baptism are never sacrificed for the sake of an individual. And let me get into this a little bit deeper so we you know what I'm talking about. As we look at these two acts, we must understand that there ought to be a focus placed on these two because they are biblical commands. They're biblical commands. Think about it for a moment. These two practices are not suggested. They're commanded. When we go back to the very beginning of God instituting the Lord's Supper, he says, "This do, as oft as ye drink and eat this bread, this do in remembrance of me." He institutes a practice that he does not expect for us to shirk. Now, there's nothing in Scripture that lets us know how often we are to do the Lord's Supper. Nothing tells me in God's Word you're supposed to do it every Sunday. You're supposed to do it every time we gather together. You're only supposed to do it once a year. We hear we practice quarterly. I believe that's been the practice all these years. But I like quarterly. The thing that I love about a quarterly is that it's far enough apart to where the special nature of the Lord's table can still be there. It does not become mundane because we're doing it week after week after week. But it's also close enough to where it's not forgotten. And so we practice this and we do this regularly, and we want to make it a very important part, and we want to put an emphasis here that these are commanded. The Lord's Supper is a command. The baptism is a command. Now, the very thought of the command from Jesus himself ought to be enough. Keep your hand here in 1 Corinthians if you want to, and go back to Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28. And I want you to look at another command from our Lord. Matthew chapter number 28, very last portion of the book of Matthew here, and we go down to verse number 19. Verse number 19. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Now, I want you to see the command here of "go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them." Again, it's a command. It is a part of the Great Commission. We look at the Great Commission and we see we're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Yes, but there's another portion of that, baptizing. So it's a command from God. So just these two here alone, being commands of God, we ought to take them fairly seriously. Not only are they biblical commands, but they're symbols of salvation. They're symbols of salvation. Now, as I said, talking about the biblical commands, the fact that it's a command ought to be enough. But when we also factor in the significance behind these commands, we should then place such an elevated understanding of them that they become very precious to us. Not only as a church body, but baptism and the Lord's Supper ought to become a very precious thing to us individually. Now, I understand I'm trying to talk in the context of the local church, but let's bring it home for just a moment. How special is the Lord's table to you? How precious is baptism to you? Now, these are two practices, ordinances that we keep. But why? Do we just do it because that's what we're supposed to do? Do we just do it because the cracker and the juice taste good? Or is there something behind it that is precious to us. You see, these are symbols of salvation. Understand, there is no salvation in these acts. Now, I don't believe for a second that when I get into the water and I am baptized, I'm put under and I come back up. I don't find in Scripture where the water of baptism completely saves us. I don't find that. What I do find is that it's a command of following our Lord and believers' baptism. It's a picture and it's a type where we're standing in the water and we're picturing the cross, that I believe Jesus died on the cross. As I'm taken under, the Bible says we are buried with him in baptism. As I come back up, I am drawing a picture of his resurrection, because as the Word of God says, we are raised to walk in newness of life. You see, this is a picture and a symbol of what takes place at salvation. I don't believe that there's any salvation in the bread and the juice. I don't believe that. It's a picture and it's a type. God's body that was broken for me. God's blood that was spilt for me. I don't believe this. I believe that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, the shed blood of Jesus Christ alone, plus, minus, nothing. That's where I land. That's where I believe Scripture lands. However, these are connecting and identifying acts. They connect us and with other believers, and they identify us with the person that we have placed our trust in. Baptism identifies us with what we hold dear in the gospel. It identifies us with his death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. And it is part of the Great Commission, as I just showed you. But look at the outline of the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. The first portion of the Great Commission is this: go out and make disciples. That's the very first, that's primary. So we go out and we start to tell others about Christ. And we teach them about the one who so loved that he gave. We teach them about Jesus. We let them know who he is, what he did. We try to explain to them and we answer their questions and we make disciples. The very second thing is that we take in the baptism, and that is marking the disciples. So we make the disciples. Then we mark the disciples. You see, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. So the next part of it is maturing the disciples. Maturing the disciples. You see, baptism is the initial act showing our connection with Christ and the initiating connection with his church. Now, the Lord's Supper, baptism being that initial act, the Lord's Supper is the ongoing practice of reminding us. This is a reminder. In this reminder, the individual remembers that they are saved, that they are in a relationship with God, that they are in a relationship with the church body. It's also a reminder to the church body that those around them are saved in a relationship with God and in a relationship with one another. When we get these practices that God has given to us, we ought not to lose focus on the precious nature that God has given them to us. Both of these practices are to point our attention back to what Jesus did for us. Baptism is not saving me. It's showing to the world this is what happened to me. I once was, I died to self, I was buried, and I was raised to walk in newness of life. The Lord's Supper is a corporate time for us to remember. You see, the basis of this relationship with one another, the basis of this relationship with God, is based upon what Jesus has done and not what we have done. You remember Luke 22. Go back to Luke 22. Go to Luke chapter 22. And this is where we get the crux of the practice, the whole centerpiece of why we do these things. Look at Luke chapter 22, and look at verse number 19. Luke 22, verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." You notice that Jesus doesn't say that you're to take communion so that you remember what you did, that you remember what commitment you made, that you remember what prayer you prayed, or that you remember what work you tried to accomplish in order to get saved. It doesn't say any of those things. It doesn't even say this do so that you remember getting baptized. No. He says this do in remembrance of me. These two practices are pivotal to the local New Testament church because they are things that point us once again back to the person of Jesus Christ. So often we make these practices about us. We make it about myself and what makes me feel better, what makes me feel good, and what's it going to do for me. And I love the Lord's Supper. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I love the Lord's Supper. I love gathering together corporately. I think it's one of the most precious services that we can have. But understand, it's not about you and I. It's all about Him. Everything that we do has to be with Christ at the center, with Christ in mind. And this is why it's so important that we do not take baptism and the Lord's Supper out of the context of what Christ made it. This do in remembrance of me. Not so that you feel better about yourself. Not so that you feel closer to one another. None of that. This do in remembrance of Him. And it's a corporate thing. It's a group thing that we do. The practice of baptism is not only a means of identifying with Christ, but it identifies us with His church. This ought to be done with a corporate attitude in mind. In the very act of baptism, one is declaring their belief that Jesus is Lord, that they are now part of this new community of believers known as the church. And it is in this spirit of community that the next statement comes. I want you to understand, it's this spirit of community that the next statement comes. Some have asked me before why I'm so particular about the practice of the Lord's Supper. Why I'm so particular about that, and I only do certain things, and I've been asked that. Look, understand something. As I look in Scripture, and I see the commands concerning both, one that sticks out above all is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You can go back there. That's where we began this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, understand as we get into this, keep in mind that this entire book, the entire book of 1 Corinthians, the entire book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, are written as a corrective. Okay, we've got to bear these things in mind. This is Brother Chris, when he was here doing the training sessions, one of the things that he asked a question. And the question was this: how many of you have had someone sit down and teach you how to read the Bible? Now think about it for a second. Have you ever had someone sit down with you and teach you how to read the Bible? Well, I know how to read. It's not what I'm asking. I'll be honest with you, I felt convicted. I felt convicted. So let me give you a very quick, there's going to come a day here before too long where I'm going to go over a study on how to read the Bible. And it's going to be one of those people are going to say, is he just going to try to teach us how to read? Yep. When we read God's Word, one of the first things that we need to ask is who's writing and to whom is he writing? When we understand those two things, then we want to know the reason behind the writing. Why was Paul writing to the church at Corinth? Paul was writing to a church body who was very carnal. And he was correcting some things that were wrong. You go through this, one of the issues, I mean, there was things so far as a man who was having affection toward his father's wife. And here he's starting to correct the Lord's Supper. So as we read this, it's not just Paul saying, let me tell you about communion. No. He's saying, look, you're doing it wrong. I'm going to tell you how to do it right. And so when we come into 1 Corinthians chapter 11, keeping this in mind that Paul, as he's writing to the church of Corinth, apparently Corinth was doing it wrong. And Paul has to set him in line. Let me set you straight. That's what he's saying. So my first mindset when I read this is I say, okay, wait a minute. So what he's saying here is flying in the face of what they were doing. And so I take these things into consideration as I get through them. Here, Paul tells them that there is a misuse of the Lord's table. As we go through this thing and we start to look, and he starts to see here, he starts to talk about the Lord's table. He says in verse 18, he says, first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. And here's what he's saying. He says, you all are coming together, and you got this little group of people over here, and this little group of people over here, and the twain never meet. And this group of people over here, they're saying, you know what, we're going to have, apparently, because he's talking, he's dealing with the Lord's Supper, apparently this little group was saying, we're doing our own thing over here, you all do your thing. And you had this division going on within the church body. And he said, This is a body thing, this is a group thing, this is a community. And he says, get it taken care of. You continue to read through here, and one of the things that he says, look at verse 33 here. It says, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. In other words, don't purposely try to exclude someone from the Lord's table. Oh, come on. You know what? We don't want him. We don't want him taking Lord's Supper, so we're going to do this. But also it says in there, when you come together. You see, this is a church thing that they come into. This is something that they get together as a body of believers, as one another in this corporate setting. And they have misused it. They've misused the Lord's table. This is a pivotal statement because what we have to understand is who is he talking to? The church. Who are we to wait on? The church. Church. So we wait on one another in the church. Let's look at something else in here with this. With these two specifics here, I want to look at the preparing of our heart. Number one, the process begins with the pastor. Go back to verse number 22. It says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse number 1, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as so not named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he hath that hath done this deed might be taken away from you, from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body and but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I were present among him that hath done this deed, in the name of our Lord Jesus, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or the extortioners, or with the idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, the word next is no, N-O, not K-N-O-W, no, not to eat. There is a very real thing that we need to understand. And that is that there are those of us that we need to get honest and get real before a thrice holy God here. And some of us are not worthy of eating when it comes to the Lord's Supper. Notice I said some of us. Because we are all commanded to examine ourselves. But we are also commanded to know who we are eating with. Now, that's not palatable, Pastor. Oh, you can't be telling me that. Yeah, I'm just reading it. And the Bible lets us know that we are supposed to mark them that are unruly. It talks about putting them out. Well, who are we supposed to put out? If it's just whatever goes, who are we supposed to put out? See, this is why it's so important that we begin the process of coming to the Lord's table by preparing our hearts. Understand the process beginning with the pastor, the leaders. You know, if you hold any position in this church whatsoever, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're the pastor of this church, or if you're Joe Pew Warmer, if you hand out bulletins, or if you take up the offering plate, it doesn't matter what you do. It begins with you. It begins with me. And we prepare our hearts. There should never be a teaching of this sort when the leadership is not willing to be the first to adhere. Never. And preparing our heart for the Lord's Supper is one of those top at the list. The second portion of this is to examine your desire to be present. Now understand something. I understand work schedules. I understand being providentially hindered. I understand illnesses. That's not what I'm talking about. But when we're talking about, say we're having a special baptism service, or say we're having a special communion service, and we go, it's just communion. It's just a baptism service. Yeah, I'm not going to go to that one. And we choose not to go. Now, I'm going to make a statement, and I'm not trying to step on a toe any other than my own, but if we're doing something in remembrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how dare we elect not to be there? So in examining ourselves and making sure that we are prepared and we are deserving to take of the Lord's Supper, the very base is, do I want to? Very base. I understand illnesses. I understand hindrances that keep me from it. But I've had people in tears tell me, I wish I could have made it. I wish I could have made it. We're gathering to remember what Christ did for us. If I have to miss any service, let it never be one of these services. These services mark the provision of God for us. These are things that we do in remembrance of what Christ did on the cross for you and for me. His body was broken. His blood was spilt. You want to know how to prepare ourselves for taking of the Lord's table. The very first part of it, do I want to be there? If I don't, I got some serious digging in my heart to do. As palatable or unpalatable as, oh, that's bitter, Pastor. Oh, I don't like that. Me neither. But sometimes we need to learn to take our medicine and go on. We examine our desire to see if we even want to be present. Next, come with clean hands. How many of you had a country mama like I did? You come in from running around outside, you'd be playing, you'd be making mud pies and that clay. You'd have dirt all up your arms. Your church closed, by the way. This was Sunday. You'd have dirt all up your arms. You'd just been tromping through the creek, and your feet were covered. I don't know why. The mud felt funny between my toes. I enjoyed it. And then I come into the house, and Mom says, come on in, it's dinner time. And I come, and I sit at the table, and she goes, go wash your hands. You're not sitting at this dinner table like that. How dare we sit at this dinner table with dirty hands? How dare we come to the table of God, this do in remembrance of Him, with dirty hands? Understand what it means to come to the table with clean hands. I don't know, maybe you've witnessed it too. I'm going to tell on myself here. You ever go to the restroom, and it's a public restroom, and someone else comes and goes to the restroom, and you're standing there at the sink, and you're washing your hands, and they're doing their business, and then they just walk on out. And that's the one that wants to shake your hand later. Hey, welcome to church. Give me an elbow. You know what it is. You know, that guy didn't even wash his hands. Now, some of you are like, well, I carry hand sanitizer. Mm-hmm. If I didn't see it, don't offer me the nasty hand from where you didn't wash it. At least wash it in the bathroom. If you don't trust the soap in the bathroom, wash it in the bathroom. Walk out of the bathroom, put the hand sanitizer on. That's fine. I don't care. At least let me know you made an attempt to clean your filth off your hands. If I wouldn't want the cook to come to the kitchen without having first washed their hands, if I wouldn't want the person serving food at the restaurant not to have washed their hands, then before I partake, don't you think I ought to wash my hands as well? Here's what it means to wash our hands before the table of the Lord. Father, I was angry today. And I said some things I probably shouldn't have said. And I need your forgiveness for that. Father, I've had a bad attitude with my wife lately. And I need to go make it right. So before I partake, I need your forgiveness first, and then I'm going to go make it right with my wife before I take. Father, I I've been cheating on a few areas of life. I was adding a few extra hours to my time card where I shouldn't have. And Father, some of us got some dirty hands. And it's time for us to get them clean. How dare we come to the table of God to partake in an ordinance that is supposed to call us to remembrance of the sacrifice that He made, when we're harboring hate in our hearts, when we're harboring an unforgiving spirit, when we're so encumbered with the roots of bitterness in our hearts, and yet we take that piece of bread, we take that cup of juice, and we say, yep. How dare we? You see, the Lord's table is one of those special times where we are able to repent, to confess, to forgive, to reconcile. These are the opportunities that God gives us. He says, I'm calling you to examine yourself, to examine your heart. I'm calling you to come to the table clean. This is one of those once a quarter, you're given an opportunity to look into your life. It should be a daily event. It should be a daily occurrence. But at least, at very minimum, this once a quarter opportunity, we should take it as a time to go through our minds, go through our lives. What have I done that was an offense to a thrice holy God? Forgive me. Confess it. Get it out there in the open. Who am I harboring ill feelings toward? Who do I need to forgive? Forgive them. This is a body. I don't know if you've ever had a pinched nerve in your body make your hand start to hurt, or make your legs start to hurt, or go numb. This is affecting this. And we are a body. The Word of God compares us to the body of Christ. And some are hands, some are feet, some are the eyes, some are the ears. And I don't know about you, but I've had a toothache that's made my toe hurt. And I have to look at this when I come to the Lord's table and I say, what kind of pain am I causing the rest of the body? I confess it. And I get it clean. And I reconcile. Someone maybe did me wrong. And I've been harboring that for a long time. Lord's table is a beautiful time to go to that person and put my arms around them and say, I'm sorry for harboring these ill feelings. It doesn't matter what they did. I'm the one that's been being bitter. And I reconcile with them. Because this I do in remembrance of Him. I sinned against Him. And He came to me to reconcile. Who are we to harbor any ill will or ill feelings? I was an offense to a thrice holy God. And I don't understand why, but I know He did. When I was His enemy, He came and He died for me. He put His arms around me and He said, all this I did for you. Who am I to hold a grudge for anything? The Lord's table is a call for each of us to do this. In applications, understand there are many high times in a Christian's life. These two ought to be very high times. The preaching of the word, the singing of his praises, they ought to be high times in the believer's life. The invitation should be a high time as well. Have you ever thought about it for a moment? We get excited when the invitation is given and someone walks forward, bows the knee, claims Christ as their Savior, as their Lord, and we get excited. And then when they decide to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, it's like, okie dokie, let's get it over with. This is a high time. Not only have they placed their trust in Jesus Christ, but they want to join with the rest of us. They want to be marked with the rest of us. They want to be different than the rest of the world. And we ought to look at that and we say, praise God! I remember that! I remember when I got that way. I remember when I was baptized. That takes me back to my first days. We ought to rejoice. There's times of baptism. We ought to get excited. It ought to be a high time when the Lord's table is spread for us and we are all together as a body of believers and we take that piece of bread and he breaks it and he says, this do in remembrance of me. I get to remember what he did. And then the cup is passed out and we have that juice in our hand and it ought to remind us of the blood of Christ. That ought to be a high time in our life. Oh, I can't wait till my next vacation though. Oh, they're having communion. I'll try to make it. I might not though. What's high in our lives? What's exciting? These ought to be high times. Are they high in your life? Are they things that get you excited? We're dealing with the very center of what we believe. These two practices, they are pictures of the very epicenter of our faith. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We ought to have such a deep conviction about these events that we want to learn more of the gospel. We want to make Christ even more precious in our hearts. The more celebratory these events become, the more we understand about Jesus. We're a church. We are a church. We're a group of people who have been saved. We have identified ourselves with his gospel. We've identified by taking that step into the water, saying, I believe Christ died for me. I believe that my old was buried and that I was raised to walk in newness of life. I identify with you, the local church. I identify with that. We associate with one another. These two ordinances give to us the opportunity to place a magnifying glass on the significance of our beliefs. With baptism, we celebrate our connection with Christ and with one another through his death. The Lord's table, we celebrate together what he did. That's why these two are so important to us. That's why these two are not things that we are going to let slide off. We're going to make them of utmost importance. They are important to God, and therefore they're important to us. They're commanded. They're basic essentials. And they point us to him. Where's your mind been on this issue of baptism in the Lord's Supper? I encourage you as we come closer to the time of Lord's table. We'll be celebrating it here in just a week and a half. And as we get to this November 21st date, we get to this place where we come to the table of God and we are going to be celebrating and remembering what he did. Let's not do this very nonchalantly. Let's spend some time. Most of us walk around with these smartphones today that, you know, Siri just heard me say her name a little bit ago. If I try to get, "Hey Siri," see, I get nothing. Oh, hey, I did. I actually got it that time. We can set ourselves reminders for anything. Let's set ourselves a reminder to spend the next week and a half, the next week, the day of, the day before, doing honest introspection. Fast. Spend some time getting alone with the Lord. And when we get hungry, we spend time on our knees saying, "God, I'm hungry, but I just want a little bit more of you." Spend some time honestly focused on doing this in remembrance of Him. Next time someone gets baptized, get your mind going back to when you were baptized. When you got in that water and you told everybody, "This is what I believe." What a wonderful day. What a wonderful picture. And as a church body, let's get excited. Let's just praise the Lord.